Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Janie Cangelosi at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, health needs of women and children in conflict zones are being neglected, and we face a catastrophic future unless climate action is taken. But first, empowering women and girls is a key target of the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, agreed by world leaders last year. It's also at the heart of a new campaign to break down gender barriers everywhere. Launched by Michael Moeller, head of the UN in Geneva, and Ambassador Pamela Hamamoto of the United States, Geneva Gender Champions calls on influential decision-makers in the Swiss city to promote gender parity at work and in the field. Daniel Johnson spoke to Mr. Moeller and Ms. Hamamoto and began by asking the U.S. ambassador why the issue is so close to her heart.
It sort of goes back to a long-standing sense of wanting to battle injustice. And I grew up in a very male-dominated household. And then I basically chose to pursue very male-dominated professions.
Yeah, let's just go into that. You worked in the energy sector, the telecom sector. Is that right?
Absolutely. So I was an engineer for a while, worked in the energy sector, working on hydroelectric power plants. I then moved to the telecommunications sector. I spent about a decade in investment banking. So, you know, it presented some challenges, not having the same kind of support structure that a lot of my male colleagues had, role models, you know, having to deal really with some discrimination, the whole gamut over the years, just really instilled in me a sense of wanting to do something about that. But it's interesting because I always focused on addressing this injustice with more of a philosophy of how should I succeed by playing the game, as opposed to how should I work to level the playing field. And it wasn't until I came here and really engaged sort of more broadly and more deeply in these longstanding gender issues when I really changed my focus and the way I wanted to address these issues.
Can we just talk about accountability? Because you need clear goals in any project, and accountability is obviously key. So at what point does the project, the initiative Geneva Gender Champions, become accountable?
So another one of the fundamental premises that we built this around is accountability. This has been embraced by everyone. It's basically viewed as one of the key measurements of success is to be able to basically evaluate, measure, track, monitor, and then report in a public forum how we're doing on our commitments.
Can I turn to you, Mr. Moeller? Why this issue above all others? How important is gender equality and the empowerment of women and girls in the Sustainable Development Goals?
Well, it's not an issue above all others. It is a important issue, a very transversal issue for the SDGs. I don't think, and most of my colleagues, certainly those who are in the forefront of trying to get these SDGs implemented, we're all of the opinion that they will not happen unless we get the other half of humanity on board.
The implementation of the SDGs will provide an opportunity to address the needs of women and children in humanitarian settings. That's according to Her Royal Highness Princess Sarah Zayed of Jordan, who is an advocate for maternal and newborn health. The new set of global goals, which officially came into force in January 2016, replaced and expanded upon the Millennium Development Goals, a 15-year agenda to tackle poverty. Her Royal Highness Princess Sarah Zayed of Jordan spoke to Carmen Cuesta Roca about why the new set of goals needs to increase its reach to women and children in conflict zones.
My work is focused on reproductive, maternal, newborn and child health in fragile and humanitarian settings. And so that is what affects reproductive health, women and children in areas of conflict, contagion or climate change. And because in all of these places, women and children are the ones that are affected the most. In every aspect of their lives, they are affected the most. 60% of preventable maternal mortality, 54% of under five preventable maternal mortality, and 46% of newborn mortality is taking place in fragile and humanitarian settings. And if we do not properly address their needs and reshape the way that we do business, whether it be in our planning, in our policies, in our partnerships, and in our financial mechanisms, we will never be able to make a difference. And if we do not look after the health needs of our adolescents and our women, then we will not have them at the table negotiating peace. We will not have their contribution to the economy and to rebuilding the fabrics of their communities.
What can we do to better implement implement the Sustainable Development Goals in areas that have been affected by extreme violence?
Well, if you talk to people in the humanitarian world, they will say that the MDGs were fantastic, but they didn't have an impact in humanitarian settings. The SDGs are not going to work unless we acknowledge that and we make sure that we're going to reach out and form new partnerships and work in a way that is sort of business unusual. We talk about reaching the furthest, and the furthest are going to be embedded in urban settings. They're going to be in the midst of a violent conflict, or they are going to be marginalized by governments or groups. And how are we going to reach them? Why haven't we reached them before? How is it that we have neglected to consider and change our systems for so very long? And so the Every Woman, Every Child, Everywhere movement, which has brought together humanitarians and development actors in all of the different sectors, is now part of the Global Strategy for Women and Children's Health, which is pinned to the Sustainable Development Goals. So in other words, for the first time, we have an opportunity to plan and finance and work together around women and children's health for the next 30 years. And we are determined to do more and to do better for more.
And what differences in the Sustainable Development Goals from the Millennium Development Goals most excite you?
That it is supposed to be for everyone, everywhere.
The world faces a catastrophic future unless immediate action is taken to counter the effects of climate change. That's the opinion of Mary Robinson, the United Nations envoy for climate change, speaking as world leaders gathered at UN headquarters in New York for the signing of the Paris Agreement. The agreement, which was approved by over 190 countries in the French capital last December, aims to bring the rise in global temperatures down to below 2 degrees Celsius. Cristina Silveiro asked Mary Robinson for her assessment of the importance of the signing ceremony.
Signing is the beginning of a real action program that we have to implement. And I was pleased to see that there was a seriousness of purpose. We're not on course for a safe world. If you add up all the INDCs, we'll have a world of about 3 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial standards. That's catastrophic. And that's the future we're facing unless we take the actions.
Do you think that the notion of climate justice is now understood?
I do believe that the Paris Agreement reflected a real sense of acknowledging the injustice of climate change, of climate justice. We would not otherwise have got the well below 2 degrees and working for 1.5 degrees. We would not have got carbon neutrality by the second half of the century. We would not have got a whole article on loss and damage. This time last year, I would not have believed that we would get an article on loss and damage in the Paris Agreement, and that adaptation would be given much more seriousness in an article on adaptation, which brought it up to the level of mitigation. These are very important issues for those who suffer most from climate, poor countries, poor communities.
What are the next steps?
We need everybody to be engaged as they are. We need business, we need faith-based, we need young people, we need civil society, we need women. I had a meeting of the Troika of women leaders on climate change, and we're very energized by Paris and implementing Paris and bringing out the gender dimensions of climate change.
What were the main messages at that meeting?
The main messages were that we need to bring out that there are really very serious gender dimensions of climate change, and that women are agents of change at their community level and need to have their voices heard more. And we need to show that women believe that we will be much better off in a renewable energy world. And that's the way we want to go, and that's how we want to see the future.
Ségolène Royal, as president of the COP, was saying that she was going to ask countries to include women as part of any finance and any initiative, any INDC that goes forward.
I'm very pleased to hear that, because that was very much part of what we were talking about this morning. We had invited her, but obviously, you know, with her commitments, she wasn't able to come. But we had a very, very good group, and we had Cristiana Figueres and a number of heavyweight women ministers. And there are good women ministers now who can make change.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Janie Cangelosi.